Early returns on the red light cameras?
Yes. What I would tell you, we will have an update for you next week. But what I'll tell you is there's a lot of people running red lights. That's what I'll tell you. And
surprise you?
No. There, you'll be surprised when you hear that, maybe when you hear the number next week. The only reason I wouldn't get, it's only about a 5-day sample size, and I don't have, we don't have the, you know, we've got the anecdotal number, we don't have it on paper, and I want to go out in the public and say this.
So a big number.
Yes. More than big.
A big number, more than big. Joining us now in studio, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, City of Pensacola, talking about the red light cameras. A huge number, a Trumpianly huge number, one might say, in light of the dominance of the media over the last day that President-elect Trump has. D.C., welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, thanks for having me.
I don't think you're prepared to yet release an official number yet, but again, suffice to say that we know everybody runs red lights and the number is massive.
Correct. And listen, it's not because the current number that we know about right now after a small sample size is top secret. It's that we don't want to just say a number. Okay, mm-hmm. Mayor, what intersection? At what time?
Right.
Those are fair questions that we want to analyze as well. So that's why we're just trying to not get in front of that. But what I can indicate to you is this will be divided up by how many people are running red lights per hour. That's the type of quantity that
okay.
we're talking about.
Wow.
This is
okay.
not every few hours someone runs a red light.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it really goes back to the conversations we've had. There's a big misperception here that the critiques of this mechanism of public safety is that there's this false presumption that this is in replace of some other competent enforcement
right.
at this point.
That's
right?
a great way to put it. Yeah.
Meaning, and we don't have the resources to put human beings 24 hours a day at every one of these intersections. And the irony of another critique is that,
can I pause there because this is an important point. The people who are criticizing the red light cameras seem to want to pretend as if red light enforcement at these traffic intersections is already capable, happening, and being done, and we're going to this instead. No, enforcement of red light running in these intersections is currently zero because these intersections are impossible to police in a legal way. This allows us a way to start policing, and actually, and I love the point you made yesterday, that it's not just to start policing, but in the time when we're just doing warnings, it's literally just observing, so we gather data on what is happening and has been happening for years. We just didn't know how to quantify it.
Yeah, the only substantive leverage, so to speak, that an argument critiquing this has is, hey, behind that curtain over here is this false, silent assumption
yeah.
that we're doing it sufficiently right now. But see, once you take that away and say, no, right now, if you go to 9th and Bayou, before January 1st, or you go to 9th and Airport before January 1st, we have no enforcement ability, and we have people running red lights all the time.
Right.
And so, you know.
And for people who haven't heard us talk about this or heard me talk about this with Tommy Leiter, and I mean, this is a longstanding conversation, it's because of the requirements of being able to prove that somebody was past the red line when the light turned red, that you are able to see all of the elements of that and position a car effectively in order to actually apprehend that person
Correct.
And issue the ticket. It's just not possible. That's the problem. By the way, this is going to be a 1-hour discussion, not just about this topic, but about any topic you want. Text me your questions for the mayor. This is a town hall, radio town hall version of our normal interview. We're going to go till 8:30 with this. 437-1620. No topic is off the table. If you want to ask him something, I'll ask him, and then, you know, he'll talk about it. But we had two we definitely wanted to talk about a little bit in the beginning, which is the red light cameras, and then of course street safety after the New Orleans attack. One last quick thing on the red. Actually, two real quick. One is one of the pair of cameras was installed wrong,
uh-huh.
right? Davis and Fairfield was supposed to be the east-west, and it got
correct.
Installed as north-south. That's not a city error. That's a vendor error.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I believe we noticed that because I was driving on, and I said, "Why are those cameras this way?" And we've never talked. And it goes back to that. And I think this reinforces. Where we selected was meticulous. It is not just saying, hey, that's an intersection problem. It's
right.
an approach problem. So we drilled all the way down to not just saying we think Fairfield and Davis is an issue. What we're saying is there is a significantly higher occurrence of red light running east and west on that. So
same at Fairfield and Ninth. It's not just, it's not north south, it's east west.
Correct.
That's the key.
So we're picking and choosing. Our goal isn't to just put them up for the sake of putting them up. Our goal is to pick the places over a decade plus of time that we know for a fact are huge problem areas for us.
And by the way, that is part of this. It's a study. This is a pilot program to see how it works, but it is historical data of crashes, historical data to the degree it's possible of red light running.
That's correct.
But then comparing that with what we get in the warning phase, comparing that with what we get over time at these approaches when we're actually issuing the tickets. No, agreed with all of that. The other thing that so they're going to reorient. They're going to do
that. That's correct.
Yeah, I'd seen the same thing when I was driving, and I thought it was the other way. Anyway. The other thing I just want to make sure that we talk about before we do anything else is what happened in New Orleans. Horrible. You talked about it extensively yesterday. I thought your comments were exactly on target, that this is, you know, after Columbine and certainly after Parkland, you know, we dramatically change how we do school safety. After 9/11, we dramatically change how we do airport safety. After Bourbon Street, not that this was the only attack of this type, but it was the one that happened here in America. We are in every city across the country dramatically changing how we do street safety for events. And we already, PPD already has access to these sort of physical impediment devices from FDEM that will stop a car and can be brought away. 18 of them in Panama City we have access to. Mm-hmm. But they're bringing, or they're devoting like 54 of them to our county, right?
That's correct, yeah. And that was already in process. And so when that takes place, then both Escambia County or neighboring counties, as well as the city, will have access. That would put a big dent in all of the, you know, overall analysis need that we would have.
And you know, they can be purchased as well for what, about
yes.
$6,000 a piece, something like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know,
we got another price, a little more, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's a combination of, well, how many municipalities are going to want these? You don't necessarily want to have to be shipping them all over because that's inconvenient. But these will dramatically enhance the ability to make street events in Pensacola, whether it's parades or whether it's Seville Square or anywhere else, more safe on sidewalks, because that's exactly what these things are designed to do.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, this should be the point of the city of Pensacola, is everything changed on January 1st. And so that doesn't mean our parade plan isn't good. It doesn't mean our festival plan isn't good, or that we don't have awesome law enforcement officials helping us with that. But the bottom line is, we are looking at this world through a new lens, as we should. And mm-hmm. I believe is the job 1, 2, and 3 of this position that I'm in, more important than Baptist or American Magic or parking or anything else you want to talk about. None of that matters if we aren't a safe community. So we should be, and we are, reanalyzing everything.
Yeah.
Not how we've always done it, or the parade route's been this way for X decades. Let's look at everything. Now, we may change it something. We may not change something. We'll look at that. But we have to look at this through a completely new lens now.
You mentioned it yesterday, but it's fair to mention that big events, you know, like Palafox is one thing. We've done a fair amount to be able to protect that. Seville Square is essentially unprotected, other than the trees, you know. But you said this yesterday, that places like that or other places around the area that might have vulnerabilities, it may become less convenient because we're going to be treating events in those places differently.
Right. And let's use an example everybody can understand who's been down for a parade or anything like that. Let's talk about Main Street during a parade. That is a difficult navigation, Main
yeah.
Street is. Between our police, you got floats coming off. You got that's a choke point of traffic,
yeah.
a choke point of pedestrian traffic. And if you were a bad actor, probably a ripe area that you'd be looking at.
And by definition has to allow vehicles because it's the floats.
Right. Correct. And so we ask ourselves, you know, we shut down the roads 2 hours before a parade. Is that enough to have people inside the box of ultimately where pedestrians are freely moving?
Right.
Does it need to be sooner? I mentioned in the press conference yesterday, what right now on ordinance, we need to update it where we can tow a car well ahead of the parade out of Palafox Street.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, we kind of do the courtesy way, which is like we look up the license plate and see, hey, Andrew, you know, come get your car. Can you help us out? I don't know that that's the world we live in reality.
Right.
And we need to be able to get that car well in advance of people lining up and all of those things. So that's what I mean. It's not that, hey, this happened in New Orleans, what we have is insufficient. What it is we woke up on January 1st with a completely different rubric as to what we should consider mm-hmm. public safety. And I think every mayor in the country did. And so what I'm telling, and I've got a column on PNJ right now talking about some of the details of that, but what, what you should expect from this administration is we are going to adapt to the number one, two, and three job of this administration, which is public safety. And that might mean an extra road close. It might mean extra inconvenience as the memories fade of how we feel right now about New Orleans.
Right.
It'll go back to inconvenience. But I just hope that we have the grace and understanding of people that, and we don't know what these changes are going to be. I'm letting the experts figure that out.
Right.
But the bottom line is there will be some change, and there will be some change in behavior, some inconvenience for some of these major events. But we're doing it because that is our job, and it's more than nostalgia, more than convenience is safety.
And just to also add to the conversation what you said yesterday, which is I'd ask the same question of the police chief when we had him on last week, but we're redesigning Palafox. Of course, all of this will be part of that conversation.
Yes.
It'd be crazy to put $5 million into a street redesign and not consider sidewalk bollards or whatever needs to be the right solution.
Correct.
For this. And the other thing is, just because it turns out to be this insane thing, we found out that the new bollards they're putting in on Bourbon Street are really only rated for a 10-mile-an-hour impact for an accidental gas pedal press. I'm assuming that we'll be doing something more robust than that.
Yeah, we're going to look at all that. A lot of is what the infrastructure that goes in. And understand, bollards, there will be nowhere in this city, whether they're 10 mile, 20 mile, 80 mile, there'll be nowhere in the city that we're going to leave bollards alone. You know, in other words, we're going to have police presence.
Right.
There's the bollards being there. So there might be in some, my guess, Andrew, to your question is we'll probably have a combination of a lot depending on the intersection, depending on how we protect it, because bollards are not a be all end all of guarantee. It's supposed to slow someone down. It's supposed to deter them. It doesn't necessarily need to stop every potential option because of other security measures that you have in place. So we'll see what that looks like. But we will absolutely be evaluating and balancing between, you know, which intersections need what level of intensity of safety.
All right. I'm going to give you a couple of texts here. Okay. One is more of a thank you. Says, thank you for having the four-way stop crosswalks repainted at Jefferson and Intendencia by Southtown.
Yes.
That assists in pedestrian safety. Can you please repaint the two pedestrian crossings across Tarragona at Church and Zaragoza? I would say also the ones on Main Street have been a long, lingering, neglected visibility issue. Many cars go back and forth there, and at night it's very hard to see. I mean, it's one thing if the cars can see them and don't obey, which is its own problem. It's another thing to make sure that they at least can see them, right?
Let me give a 10-second kind of nerd out on the technical aspects of that. Number one, yes, we will absolutely look at those. We'll get those listed if our folks are listening right now. It's the difference between stamped concrete is what you look at. So
sure.
It looks like pavers,
yep,
but it's actually the road. Those wear out much quickly. So just so you know, when we're looking at hashtag on Main, when we're looking at the new Palafox, that will not be taking place. We will be putting actual pavers in the ground that give them much longer lifespan, much easier to see. It's a change in material.
Looks nicer.
It looks way nicer. So this administration is not installing any more stamped concrete.
Okay.
But it's what you're seeing is basically, it's road, it's asphalt.
Right.
It's just been painted a different way, and we got to go back and repaint it. So, yeah, we'll get on this.